from Directions Magazine. This is Directions on the News for Tuesday, September 18th, 2012. Each week, this podcast looks at news and trends related to all things location. This is Adina Schutzberg, executive editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
And this is Joe Francica, editor-in-chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
You may not have heard, but the International Map Trade Association recently renamed itself as the International Map Industry Association. There are other changes in this group of print map makers and publishers. They're all trying to steer a successful business path as online maps and mobile device apps push the venerable paper map aside. Have map publishers been part of the GIS and online mapping revolution? Can they find a way to straddle the two worlds? We'll explore these questions after a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by ESRI. Make ArcGIS Online the mapping platform for your organization. Sign up for a free 30-day trial today at esri.com/agoleval.
Now, I want to start, Joe, with a quote that you shared after attending the International Map Industry Association meeting. And you said, "What I found also most interesting is that this group of publishers is somewhat disconnected from the other factions of the geospatial community. This needs to change. While the publishers are often users of cartographic software publishing tools from the likes of ESRI, Avenza, and others, there still seems to be a gap and perhaps an opportunity that could be filled." So let me ask you to delve into that a bit further. What is the gap and why is it there?
I thought the gap was between the folks who are obviously playing in a very niche market with their products, some of which have very niche maps, such as a map of lighthouses in the United States or a map of trails of northwestern Colorado, something very, very specific to a very narrow audience. And while these map products are really stunning cartographically, the challenge is to somehow produce them digitally and make them more widely available. They sort of looked at themselves, I think, as being just in the mapping product business, not necessarily in the broader geospatial industry. I think that that somehow grew up historically because they were always different because of the medium, the paper versus the digital world. And while they may have used software products and may eventually have their base maps in a digital format, the end result, the end medium, was always in paper. And so I thought that there was this disconnect. I mean, we in the geospatial community deal almost exclusively with many online items today. And while in the past a lot of what we did was paper product was always considered almost a throwaway. We always did things online. So it was more or less a byproduct of our work digitally, never as the end result, as I think some of the IMIA folks believe it to be.
Well, and that's really interesting because one of the big lures at the ESRI International User Conference every year is the Map Gallery, which is a huge room filled with large form paper maps. I fear that you may be correct, that those paper maps may have been made for a specific purpose, but in a sense they are sort of disposable and transitional, and what's really valuable is the underlying digital version with the changing digital data. So how do we sort of reconcile those two things?
And I think therein lies the issue. The medium can be paper. It can be digital. And both take on different form factors. The fold-out maps, the map books, whether that's something like a coffee table book or the typical fold-out tourist map that you would use in a car, you know, like we all used to do to navigate our way from point A to point B, the mediums were very different. Today, with, I think, the advent of tablet computers, there's different medium. Cellular phones a little less so because of the visualization format and form factor there. I think that's where some of this disconnect has resided.
Well, and let's maybe try to break this set of publishers down. You talked about sort of niche products, and I'm imagining what this lighthouse map might look like, and it sounds like the kind of thing that you would hang on your wall. not something you would put in your back pocket or in your car if you're going out to see these lighthouses. Is that sort of the sense you have as well?
Well, yes, but also remember that there has to be a distribution mechanism for these maps, and a lot of what the map producers at the IMIA meeting were talking about was a lot about the distribution. Some of these people sell into museums, some sell into shops that are associated, for example, with a lighthouse. They have to get their products somewhere. Obviously, sometimes they can be bought online if these publishers have an online store. So I think part of it is not just the production of the map itself, but the distribution and how that can be consumed.
Right. Let's sort of distinguish that sort of map, which you would hang on your wall or keep on your bookshelf and take out periodically and look at, versus a working map.
Mm-hmm.
So let me quiz you. So in your car right now, do you have any paper maps?
I do.
You do? Okay, what do you have in there?
Well, typically I have a map where I live in Alabama.
You have like a fold-up map of Huntsville?
I do have a fold-up map of Huntsville, mostly because it's simply from the state map, the state DOT map. I used to have a very detailed map of the city. I don't carry that anymore. But I do have a statewide map. Same thing for New Jersey when I travel up in that area.
Okay, and my hunch is that most people do still carry one or two sort of practical maps for the area that they travel in most commonly.
Yeah, I think that's right. In fact, for example, my wife still carries a triptych from AAA, which those strip maps were very valuable.
And this is for a trip that she makes regularly, right?
Yeah, and I don't know if there's a suitable substitute for those triptych maps. Talk about a good form factor. The AAA kind of hit it out of the park with that form factor. Very easy to open, close. It was sequential in nature. It took away the problem of the folding issue, right, that we always had with those tourist maps.
Let me give you sort of the sense of what's happened here in Massachusetts, and I can follow this pretty closely because I'm sort of connected to it. So here in Massachusetts, what everybody used to carry in the back seat of their car was the universal map of Boston and vicinity. And I grew up with this map because the fellow who started the company was a good friend of my father's. And in my house, that is still referred to as Al's map because Al made it. And a couple years ago, Al invited me to talk to him about taking his company to the next level, to go digital, because everything had been done the old-fashioned way. And we talked about the technology, and I could tell it was a huge leap. He was certainly not familiar with GIS technology. His sons, who were involved with the company, were a little bit more aware of it, but it was to be a huge leap. I didn't expect that the company was going to be able to make that leap, and I went online today to try to track down the company and see where it was. And the last published maps were in the late 90s, and I couldn't find anything newer, and I couldn't find the company at all, so I suspect that their content was sold to somebody. And I think that was part of the end of an era, in a sense. And one of the questions I had for you about visiting this conference was, were these sort of the compatriots of my friend Al, who actually passed away a number of years ago, is this sort of a generational thing where they're going to have to either make that leap or sell out?
Well, they realize the change is coming. And they've already felt the impact of a reduction in the number of paper products that they can sell. There are some generational holdouts. There's no doubt about that. I talked to a gentleman that was absolutely adamant that paper will continue. His business was still good. The web wasn't even, digital products weren't even in the mix to him. And some of the paper map producers really, truly believe that. But a majority do believe that if they don't find yet another avenue for distribution, that they may indeed go out of business. It's, I think, one of the reasons why this concept that was brought up by Ted Florence from Avenza in his presentation about this iTunes for Maps concept that he's put out there in the Apple App Store, downloadable maps, 99 cents, $1.99, maps that are essentially digital versions of the paper products that perhaps also sell for $8 or $9 or $10, but now are available at the App Store. So they're looking for a different distribution model. It isn't so much that the products themselves will go away, because these are really cartographically stunning maps that people produce. But they got to get their products out some way, and that little tourist store, the little museum store, really hits a very narrow audience. So distribution's an issue.
Now this vision of an iTunes for map, working maps, or are those pretty maps to look at?
Well, when you say working maps, what do you mean?
Well, when I say working maps, I mean maps that you're gonna access potentially via your tablet in your car to help you get from A to B.
Again, I have to go back to the form factor. If you're able to download the map and put it on your tablet, I think that becomes a very workable map.
Maybe the business model to look at is books. Because, okay, paper books, e-books, audiobooks. And what's starting to happen now is you can get some combination of the two or three and use them together in whichever form is appropriate for whatever it is you're doing. And maybe we need to look at that for maps. I don't know if we have quite audio maps yet, but...
Well, this is in a conversation with Ted Florence that he told me. This is the model. It's the e-books. It's the iTunes model. So whether you're talking about music or books, it is more or less the same model. And it isn't necessarily an either-or, remember. It can be an upsell situation where you may download the 99-cent map and you find it useful, but you also might find it useful to have the full-blown paper map. So I think that the map producers, again, are looking at kind of all of the things, all of the possibilities that are open to them. And that's where the change is, right? They're now open to those possibilities, whereas before they may have said, nah, paper is still good enough.
What is our role from the GIS professionals' perspective in helping them along in that way? Do we have a role? Should they be part of our community?
Well, they absolutely should, and I think that's another step that the professional organization wants to make, and I think Charlie Reagan, who's a VP with National Geographic Maps, is going to help them in that direction. But where they should play, I think, is a very good question, because really, at the end of the day, they have very good content at their fingertips. They have the data. Again, going back to the map of the lighthouse, a person has the locations of those lighthouses. So a lot of them are content providers. But the other part of that is they probably have a very good handle on where to access other types of data. And the government is a huge source. So, and I was talking to someone for the USGS. There's lots of data under wraps at the USGS and the U.S. government in general, and probably governments all around the world. Now, to expose that, some of these map providers are really the experts in how to display that information on a map. I think all of us in the digital and the web world only look at a very narrow slice of data that can be put out there. Product differentiation, looking at different data elements that can be put on a map, I think is where this opportunity for the collision of two worlds can become.
That's all the time we have for today. Before we go, our sponsor, ESRI, would like you to know that ESRI Maps for Office lets business professionals visualize and analyze their data directly within Microsoft Office. They can create and share interactive maps from their data in an Excel spreadsheet. For more information and to download a 30-day trial, visit esri.com/maps4office. That's maps, the number 4, office.
And from us here at Directions, I'd like to remind you that September 30th is the closing date for our call for presentations for the GEO Huntsville Conference. More information at geohuntsville.com. We've also opened up a call for presentations for our 2013 Location Intelligence Conference that will be held in conjunction with the Oracle Spatial and Graph Conference, May 21st and 22nd, Washington, D.C. Visit locationintelligence.net.
If you'd like to comment on today's podcast, you can reach us at editors@directionsmag.com. You can send us a tweet at Directions Mag, or you can leave a comment where this podcast is hosted on Directions Magazine. Thanks for joining us, and be sure to tell a friend.